Yeah, the fear of the Lord was an awesome thing in the Old Testament because people knew God and they respected God. Not everybody now. And they obeyed God because they had a reverent fear for him. And this is what the body of Christ lacks. They do not have a reverent fear for the Father. Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for this wonderful day. I thank you, God, for the crisp weather that we're having, showing us that fall is truly here in all of its glory. And Father God, we know that you're here in all your glory. And we know, God, that you're doing a great and a mighty works throughout this land. And Father, I'm just asking right now that all those that came out to sit at your table, that you feed them the fresh manna from heaven. Meet each and every need, Father. And Father God, I thank you. You know the need. Not the wants, but and the desires, but the need. And I'm asking that you supply that, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. The body of Christ has to understand that God is watching over us very carefully. He's watching each and everything that we do and each and everything that we say. I can fool you, but I can't fool God. And this is, you have to understand this. You can fool all those around about you, but God sees everything that you do. And he understands everything that you do. You know, a lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. And one day he says, yes, I do know their heart, that they are hardened towards me. And they can make all the excuses they want for what they do, but it's not going to stand when they stand before him. Are you understanding this? So if you're using the excuse, well, God knows my heart, if I was you, I'd get before the Father and I'd get that right, because he does understand that you just don't want to do what's right and you don't have the fear of the Lord in you. This morning I'm going to talk about offense, and the reason why I'm going to do that is because as you guys go out to minister now, you're going to find that not everybody's going to want to receive your gospel, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not going to want to receive you, and they're going to come against you, and they are going to say that you are offending them, but you have to know that you are not offending them. The Word of God is offending them. And the Word of God is convicting them, and they don't want to change. So this is why God's having me teach this morning, because he wants you to be aware that wherever you go, you will offend the hearts that do not want to receive Jesus Christ. And because of that, he does not want you to get discouraged and quit, all right? So offend, it means to cause to feel resentment or indignation. And offense is a lack of politeness, a failure to show regard for others, wounding the feelings of others. In John 6:52, let's read that. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That would be sort of hard to swallow, wouldn't it? Jesus goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is a bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. You know, the bread of life that Jesus is talking about. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, Jesus is talking about himself. And if you can really listen to his word and live by his word, then you're going to have eternal life. But if you don't listen to him and live by his word, you're going to be lost and undone. Now, John 6, verse 60 says, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" When Jesus knew in himself, see, when Jesus knew in himself, how many of you know sometimes in yourself that somebody's not receiving what you're saying? You just have that knowing inside of you. So when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" See this? Does this offend? Remember what God has always told us, that when people get upset with you, they're not getting upset with you. They're getting upset with the Jesus in you that convicts them. All right? So Jesus says, "Does this offend you?" Then Jesus goes on to say, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Now look at this. This stuck out to me for the first time last night. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. You know, I've always read this scripture, and I've seen that scripture, but that really stuck out to me. He said, Jesus knew from the beginning. Are you listening here? God told me one time, there are some that were born who will never serve me. And right there's a scripture to back that up. And verse 65, and he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." All right, let's just stop there. Pharaoh was born for what? So God could use him to set his children free, right? Judas was born for what? To betray Jesus. That was always his lot in life. If you really read the word, you could find a lot of other people were born for destruction. All right? All right, verse 60. Let's go back to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. See that? Because they couldn't deal with what Jesus was telling them. Why do you think people leave the body of Christ? Because they cannot deal with what the Word of God tells them they have to do. Then verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And when I read that, I remember one time somebody did a church split, took everybody, absolutely everybody. And the next morning when I opened the church up, one man was sitting there. And I leaned over the pulpit and I said, crying, I pointed my finger at him and I said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And I'm thinking, why would I, because I was upset, why would I say that to this person? Who was saying that? It was Jesus. Jesus was saying that to him, "Are you also going to leave me?" He looked at me and said, "I don't think so." But he didn't show up from that time forth either. All right. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" See that? This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? It wasn't hard to understand what Jesus was teaching. To be sure, the disciples may not have understood it completely, but they understood it well enough. And I know that in the body of Christ, some people might not understand it completely, but they understand it enough to follow Jesus and not give up on him. The disciples were right. Jesus' teaching was hard. And it was simply hard to accept. And Jesus' response to their complaint was just as hard. Now, you leaders in here, are you understanding that when you go forth, they are not going to want to receive what you say. They just are not. And they are going to come against you. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord, knowing that God has sent you forth to do this thing. And if you know that, then no matter how much they come against you, you will not falter and fall. Remember, I used to go home and say to God, "God, everything I say offends the people. Please change the way you speak to me." He says, "No, they're not offended at you. They're offended at the Jesus in you." So you might even find yourself that everybody you talk to, you offend. So what that proves to you that you are full of Jesus. Are you listening here? Because if everything you do offends somebody, then Jesus is in there convicting them and saying, you need to get this thing together. All right? Now we know there's some things we do in the flesh. And that, but I'm talking about if you're walking in the Spirit of God. What Jesus had to say offended those who heard it. This is Jesus speaking now, what he had to say. But as hard as his words were to hear and accept, his words were spirit and they were life. This is why God is telling us, he's been telling us, he told us 2 years ago or three now, religion's gone and it has to be a spirit calling the spirit, no more flesh. Because what he's sending you forth to do has to be totally and completely spirit-led. Are you listening to this today? Don't let man or woman or anything else stop you from walking in the Spirit and speaking the truth that Jesus wants to speak through you. His words, Jesus' words, were the last straw for many of those who followed Jesus as disciples. Easy enough to understand, but hard to accept. The truth was too much to take, and they turned and walked away. As Jesus' disciples, as Jesus' disciples turned to walk away, his response was just as hard. He said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. They didn't like anything he said. Jesus also said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. A lot of people like to believe that they did all the work, that they're just so wonderful that they chose Jesus, you know, and that everything they're doing is all them. And it isn't. It's Jesus chose them to bear fruit. I'm offended. This is offensive to me. You must not do that because it offends me. How many times have you heard that? I am offended has become the verbal alarm that signals some sort of mistake or misstep on the part of the speaker. All right? I'm quite sure you guys that do deliverance hear that all the time. Can't believe how they offended me. They don't know how to speak to me. Come on. You know, if you're walking around in your flesh, nobody can ever speak to you properly. You will be offended. I don't care what they say. It could be Jesus himself standing in front of you, and you would still get offended because it's your flesh that's showing and reacting. All right, I said, I am offended has become the verbal alarm that signals some sort of mistake or misstep on the part of the speaker. However, the fact is, just because a person is offended is not necessarily a reason to stop saying or doing something. Jesus often offended people, but that did not stop him from preaching and teaching the truth. When a person takes offense at something, it often says much more about the heart of the one who is offended than it does about the person who supposedly caused the offense. Now let's say that again. Jesus often offended people, but that did not stop him from preaching and teaching the truth. When a person takes offense at something, it often says much more about the heart of the one who is offended than it does about the person who supposedly caused the offense. Your flesh is still in control, and you're trying to blame everybody else, but we have to, I've always told you, God always told you, look inwardly. What is causing you to react to these things the way you do? All right? On one occasion, after Jesus taught about how the Pharisees had abused God's word, his apostles came to him and said in Matthew 15:10-12, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. You know, hear and understand is where we fall short, isn't it? We hear, but we don't understand. And then Jesus goes on to say, what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now, it said, not what goes into the mouth defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Like Jesus didn't know, right? This disciple seemed to be indicating that because Jesus had offended the Pharisees, then he should stop teaching those ideas or change his message. When I first started, every pastor in Delaware told me I needed to change my message because it offended the people, that I told them they had to repent. Are you listening here? Jesus, however, thought nothing of the sort. He knew that his message offended the Pharisees because of the hardness of their hearts, not because of the way the message was delivered. See this? It was because of the hardness of their heart, not the way the message was delivered. How many times, that's why I said the shoe thing, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, walk on. When that pastor made that whole sermon all about me, I'm sitting there in front of him. I said, God, what is he doing? And he said, that's you he's talking about. And so I started listening. And then finally he said, and it's you. Leave my church now. He called me a Jezebel and everything else. But, you know, I wasn't offended because I didn't do what he was saying I did. You understand that? It didn't bother me at all. I didn't leave when he told me to. I waited till everybody else left, and then him and I and my husband had a talk with him. And then he admitted he was wrong. But see, I wasn't offended. I didn't say, how could he possibly embarrass me like that? You know, his wife sitting in front of me, down her hands and knees with her Bible up like I was a witch or something, you know. It did not offend me because I hadn't done nothing wrong. So if you get offended, it's because you inside, you know you're guilty of something, and then your flesh acts out. Jesus understood that the hearts of the Pharisees needed changing, not his message, or even the way he delivered it. He responded to his apostles by saying in Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Jesus, I'm not going to go fool them. Just leave them alone. Their hearts are hardened. In Matthew 15:15, then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. See, the disciples didn't understand it either, but they didn't get offended. They just explained it to us, please. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? The body of Christ is without understanding to this day. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Let's read what defiles a man. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth eventually. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. They were talking about the people who didn't wash their hands before that, all right? I believe everyone here can agree that the Pharisees would have been further offended by Jesus' follow-up comments. Their offense, however, was misplaced. They were blind to the truth. They should not have been offended at Jesus' message. Jesus' message was the truth that God had sent to set them free. And you'll find that in John 32. All right, let's read that again. I believe everyone here can agree that the Pharisees would have been further offended by Jesus' follow-up comments. Their offense, however, was misplaced. They were blind to the truth. And see this, if you're offended, it's because you are blind to the truth. You're not understanding fully what's going on around about you. They should not have been offended at Jesus' message. Jesus' message was the truth that God had sent to set them free. Now Mark 6 verse 1 through 6 tells about a time Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth. Mark 6 1. Then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. Where did he go? To his own country. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Jesus were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. He didn't do anything but just speak the truth, but they became offended him because, after all, he was nothing but a carpenter's son. People, you know, if you might be a person on the street and all of a sudden God cleans you up and you start preaching the gospel, and the other people in the street will say, well, who do you think you are? I know somebody was on the street one time, and they had a good home they could have went back to, and they started telling the people on the street how to live, and they said, you know, if you know everything, why don't you have get a place of your own? He said, I do have a home, and I'm going back to it. So they didn't like him telling them how they should live, and so they told him to go back to where he came from. So he said, I went back home to where I knew I had a warm meals and a nice bed and roof over my head, instead of being out there in the street. He didn't get offended. He just went on home. You see that? And see, this is what we need to do. We need to stop being offended at every little thing that comes down the pike. Come on. I thought you were a child of God. I thought Jesus lived in you. I thought every place you placed your foot became holy ground. Lie. If you get offended, that's not true. That's not true. See, well, the body of Christ is operating in what they've learned all their life. They've learned to be offended. They've learned to stand up and have the last say. And this is not God. We have to become humble. Right? We have to be full of love, compassion, and grace. And even if you have to bite your tongue off, you have to learn to be quiet. Who says you have to have the last word? God said he will vindicate you. All right, we were reading Mark 6, and we're on verse 4. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. In other words, you will not get honor in your own church. You will not get honor in your own house. The only place you're going to get honor is when you go out where people don't know you. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. That's the only place you're without honor, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Well, I know where you came from. I know what you used to do. Isn't that how it goes? Oh, and you call yourself a child of God after they ripped and tore and carried on and made you get upset. You said something you shouldn't have said. Amen. In verse 5, now Jesus would do no mighty work there. He didn't do anything in his own hometown, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. See, and it says in all the other scriptures, everywhere he went, he healed everybody. But in his own hometown, he only healed a few sick people. And see, Brother Christopher used to always say, I don't understand how, when you go out, you know, miracle after miracle happens, but in our own church, nothing happens. It's because when I go out, the people honor me, and they reverence Jesus in me, and so God can move mightily. And this is going to happen to you, all right? You might not be able to do anything here in the lighthouse, but when you go out, the atmosphere changes. People are accepting you, you know, and the Jesus in you. They don't know you, you know, so they're going to accept you for who they see. And what they see is Jesus. All right, verse 6 says, And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, you in his own hometown. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He went to the synagogue and preached the word as he often did in other places. Awesome. Awesome how you cannot accept a prophet or evangelist of God in your own church, but everybody else in the world will accept them. Do you give honor here? God said, give honor where honor is due. And each one of you in here, you're called to be leaders. You're already started your ministries. And you want those people to honor you, the Jesus in you, then you need to start honoring those around about you that have Jesus in them. All right? The townspeople who heard Jesus murmured, "Where did this man get these things? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" The fact that they were offended did not mean Jesus had done anything wrong. It did not mean that he should have taken a different approach to preaching in his hometown. It meant only that the hearts of their hearers were calloused, sinful, and refused to recognize God's message when it was preached. Jesus never cowered to the "I am offended, so you must stop" tactic, and neither should we. Let's read that again. The fact that they were offended did not mean Jesus had done anything wrong. It did not mean that he should have taken a different approach to preaching in his hometown. It meant only that the hearts of the hearers were calloused, sinful, and refused to recognize God's message when it was preached. Jesus never cowered to the "I am offended, so you must stop" tactic, and neither should we. All right, you know, let's just talk. Sister Elaine wrote me an email telling me all everything she's doing on the streets. It totally blew my mind. Do you work, Elaine? All right, so she works 2 days a week. And if you just see her schedule with what she's doing for God, it's just totally awesome. And, you know, I don't know what she was before she became entrenched in God, but somebody else might know you and might say, "Well, you know, why are you doing this? Who do you think you are? I knew you when." Are you understanding it? But she can't quit. But really, truly, if you watch Elaine, she really loves the Lord with all of her heart. She just emanates Jesus Christ. And I thought when she was talking this morning, I thought, "God, she had an encounter with you this morning before she ever came into the house of God. And therefore, she brought that encounter with her." If each and every one of us would have an encounter with God before we came into the house of God, do you understand what would happen in this house of God when we all came together? At one time, Jesus preached to a great multitude of his disciples. Many of his own disciples did not understand the message and murmured about Jesus' preaching. This goes on in his church all the time. John 6:60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about it, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Many in our day would say that if Jesus offended the crowd, he was sinning and should change his message, change his delivery style, or reword his statement to be less offensive. Just like the pastor, "Don't you ever say that Christians suffer." Well, it's in the Word, all through the Word. That offended her. She was my pastor at that point. That offended her, and she said, "Don't you ever say that ever again." She didn't know the Word, and so that offended her. You see, some people don't know the Word. You know, I don't care how new you are in Christ, and I found this out, and I don't care how old the pastor is in Christ. If God wants to give you new revelation, then he gives you a new revelation. And, you know, if that offends them, you know, don't you get upset about that, because God revealed that to you for a plan and for a purpose. Okay? Jesus, however, responded by saying, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" What was Jesus' point? If the people were offended with Jesus' message that he was the bread that came down from heaven, just think how they would react if they saw Jesus ascend back into heaven, which was what he planned to do in the near future. If you're all upset about this, what are you going to see when you see me zip right back where I came from? Amen? Have you noticed how people are really fighting against the gospel right now? You know, they used to try to prove it's wrong, but now they're really trying to prove it's wrong. And now they're really twisting it every which way they can twist it. I think, dear Lord, how much darker is the world going to become before Jesus comes back again? Really dark. We're going to have to know who we are in Christ. We're going to have to be walking in the Spirit 24/7, and we are not going to be able to give way to offense at any time. We cannot become offended at any time. It will take us out. Not only did Jesus refuse to quit preaching or change his message, he added something to the message that the audience would have had more problems accepting. He was going to ascend into heaven. It is very obvious Jesus did not feel the need to stop preaching or change his message because his audience was offended. And that's what they told me. If you just change your message, you would have the biggest church around here. I said, I can't change what God is doing. I can't help if you're offended when you're saying you have to repent. Amen? That's the message of the gospel. It is true that Christians should let their speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. And you see that in Colossians 4:6. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's true. It is also true that Christians should avoid unnecessary offense in Matthew 17:27 and 1 Corinthians 8. And Matthew 17:27 says, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea. You know, this was talking about paying your taxes. Jesus said, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Now see, Jesus didn't even want to offend them in their tax giving. The gospel, however, is exclusive and offensive to many people. Those with dishonest, simple hearts will always be offended at the simplicity and straightforwardness of Christ's truth. As Christians, we should follow the example of our Lord. We must never be bullied into silence or intimidated into changing our message simply because a person or group is offended at the truth. You just don't understand how many times in the 40 years I've been preaching, I have tried to change the message. And God will not let me get anything else together except the thing that he's told me to get together. Because he knows who's going to be there, and he knows who has to hear it, and he knows the hearts that are already hardened, and he's trying to soften those hearts. And if I would just use my flesh and change the message, nothing would be accomplished. In fact, he wouldn't even let me preach. I can tell you that right now. It is interesting that when Stephen was martyred, he exclaimed in Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth, at Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Wouldn't that be awesome? And said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This really made them mad then. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran on him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You know, he had already had him upset. He already offended him. Then he had the audacity to say, look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now that really got them excited, upset. This is young Stephen, a young little whippersnapper that wasn't even dry behind the ears, and he was trying to tell them all this stuff, and they got offended at him. Do you know how offended an older pastor or evangelist, whatever, will be that you young guys are coming on the scene and you try to tell them something? They're going to be really offended. Who do you think you are? Are you getting this in your spirit? All right, 59, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice. Now this is what Stephen said. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Even when they were stoning Stephen for nothing, no, he didn't do anything wrong, he still said, God, do not charge them with this sin. We can't even do that when we're not dying. Kill them, Lord. Vindicate me, Lord. Come on. But Stephen was being stoned to death. In fact, he was dying. And he asked God not to hold it against him. When you are delivering God's word, always remember a cold, unregenerate heart cannot receive it, you know, the word of God, and the word will offend them. Will you render service to others? And that's Mark 3, 13 through 15 and verse 18. And this is in Malachi. Some of the people Malachi addressed were guilty of whining and complaining. You can read that when you go home. They were talking to each other about their complaints against God. When confronted, they denied any wrongdoing and in that the body of Christ. This is the seventh time in the book they deny their errors. What were they talking about? Serving God was drudgery. It was useless. Worshiping, tithing, and serving had no purpose. It was all empty, vain, and futile. This, if you read Malachi, this they were talking about. This complaint bears its ugly head in our hearts today. Some people stop serving because they don't see any benefit. I'm not getting anything out of it. Or I've been faithful, yet God doesn't bless me. And what's more, evil people seem to prosper while good people suffer. That is what's going on today. And if Malachi really caught my attention, I was reading it the other night. It's so like the body of Christ today. If you really read the word, you know, history just keeps repeating itself. Church just keeps repeating itself. Malachi raised a bar on service. He showed that service, the word service, he showed that service distinguishes the righteous from the wicked in Malachi 3:18. Righteousness in God's sight is more than a profession of faith. The righteousness of true faith will prove itself in a heart of service. If you have a heart of service, you will not be offended. Come on. Serving God is serious business. He commands us to serve. Isn't it interesting that we want to be called a servant, but we don't want to be treated that way? We want people to look at our humility and say, what a servant. But when treated like a servant, we complain and compare, just like the Israelites in Malachi's day. Then we say, that's not fair. I'm not being treated right. Come on. But here's the thing. Servants don't have rights. They've given up their rights. Servants don't talk about fairness. They serve. Is this blowing your mind right now? Here's the thing. Servants don't have rights. They have given up their rights. Servants don't talk about fairness. They serve. All the great people of the Bible were called servants. God referred to Moses as my servant Moses in Malachi 4:4. And the ultimate servant is Jesus. And we should follow his example. Each day presents a choice of serving or not. What is your decision? And if you decide to serve, then you don't get offended. Every Saturday I take time to pray for the street ministry that Elaine goes to. And if it's bad weather, I really pray that God will just cover her and not let her feel the rain or the wind or whatever it is. Because she is a servant of God out there. And whoever goes with her, I don't know who goes with her. I know Mark, I believe, does. But, you know, she's a servant. And she gets up and does. And I know Jade goes. But, you know, she's doing this willingly. And I haven't heard her complain. And if she does, she can keep that to herself, all right? But how many of us, you know, we don't even go out on the street where the filth is, where the rain is, where the cold is, or the heat is, and we complain and we get offended. We sit in our little ivory-towered houses, comfortable, feet propped up, you know, doing whatever we do. And we want God to pat us on the back, and that's not right. We are servants. And I was thinking the other day how when we used to always go out every Saturday and we used to go out and minister on the streets. I'd take the whole church with me because we weren't very big. We go, right? And we did all kind of things. But now, see, I'm not doing it now because it's you younger guys' job to do that. I'll just stand by and tell you what to do. But, you know, Saturday I was sitting there thinking, God, I was looking out the window and praying for Elaine. I said, God, I'd love to be able to go up there in those streets and just help minister to the people. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do because enough of the street people have come into my home that do live up there. And, you know, believe it or not, I've had two people in my home, give them home for a couple years, And they came to me and said, I can't stay here no more. So why not? The street's calling me. I have to go back to the street. But you don't have any place to go. But they say, we have everything anybody could ever desire right here in this house. But I have to go back to the street. It's calling me. And no matter what I said, they would pack their bags and they would go back to the street. And, you know, and I keep up with it, with two of them. And they're in a bad way. You know, they're just dirty and no place to sleep. You know, they fight who's going to sleep under the bridge, or they go into abandoned houses and stuff like that and have nothing. Don't even know where they're going to get their next meal, but they had everything. But the street was calling them. Remember that when you go up on the street. And I don't know what that is. I haven't really prayed about it, but maybe we ought to find out why they say the street is calling me. Is this a spirit? I know it's a spirit of some sort, but still and all, I don't get offended when they decide to leave. I just tell them, you can't come back, because God said once they leave, they can't come back, because then it would just be an open swinging door, just a flip-flop in and out anytime you wanted to. And I have a house, you know, a family I have to raise. But I don't mind being that kind of a servant. And you can't mind being a servant either. Has anybody ever spit on you in the street? I just heard God said when they spit on you and they that you don't get offended. I just heard him say that. But what happens in the house of God? They might not literally spit on you, but that is what they do in their mind. They spit on you. And how do you react? You don't pray for them. How dare they, God? You vindicate me, and you just let everybody in the world know you need to be vindicated. Are you a servant or are you not? If you're a servant, then you won't get offended. Something happened to me in my early walk with God, preaching the gospel, and somebody said to me, doesn't that bother you? Aren't you offended? And I said, no, I'm really not. And I went home and I said to my husband, wonder why should I be offended at that? They didn't even know what they were even saying or doing. And I didn't get offended. But see, that's the mindset of the world. And you're not of the world, remember? The world said, okay, you need to be offended. You just really need to be offended and do something about that. But a child of God doesn't say that. You're a servant and you expect for people to spit on you. You expect for God's word to offend them. And so what do? You've already made in your mind and in your heart, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to pray for them. Amen. Father, now this message was because this is what you're going to encounter. Now remember, God's training you all right now that when you go out there are different things you're going to encounter, and he wants to give you foreknowledge of it so that you aren't taken off course by what goes on. Father, I just thank you for the word this morning. I thank